Welcome to the Game AFL Podcast, a weekly hit of the best football analysis from the West Australian and the Sunday Times, where the footy never stops. This is the game.
Well, hello, listeners. It's one of the most exciting times of the AFL calendar, believe it or not, when they are not even playing a game. The grand final is played and won and lost. The international rules has come and gone. Trading period has come and gone, but it is AFL National Draft Week. I'm Mark Duffield, the senior football writer at the West Australian. Glenn Quartermain is with me, the sports editor of the Sunday Times. We're going to have a look at the draft coming up on Friday, take a few stabs at where we think players will go and what sort of players they are. We'll go into depth about what might be available to West Coast and Fremantle. Of course, the Dockers have picks 2 and 5. West Coast has pick 13 and has 5 picks in the top 37. And we'll also be talking to Peter Sumich, the State 18s coach and a driving force behind WA's great results in junior football this year, to talk to him about who he thinks is in contention from Western Australia. That will come a bit later on. Quarters.
Duff, how are you? Excited about Friday more than anything. You talked to the number of people you talk to in the lead up to a draft, and your own opinion changes so many times on players and where they're going to go. But it really is a silly season, isn't it?
Well, my number one draft pick has changed 55 times depending on whose highlights package I've watched last.
Mine's changed about 3 times today depending on who I've spoken to.
There are some very exciting talents in this draft. There's no doubt about that. It's a unique draft, I think, because A, almost all the talent at the top end looks to be midfield talent, and B, it looks to be a very even draft. As of last weekend, there were still 4 players believed to be in contention for the top draft pick. That may have changed a little bit since then, I'm led to believe. And there's any number of players could figure in the top 10 still. So a very uncertain draft, probably made a little bit more uncertain quarters by the fact that Brisbane has the number one pick, and Brisbane has had issues hanging on to players in the past. I suspect that they'll be looking very closely at who they think is the one most likely to stay before they take their final selection.
And that comes down to, look, 1 and 2, I believe, are going to be Rayner and Davey Zuniaki. Let's call him LDU.
Yep.
I think that, look, my mail was that it was going to be LDU. Rayner's... We've all heard he hasn't got the tank. You can build a tank. Terrific footballer, Dusty Martin type, but doesn't have the tank. And I think the time trial just recently was over 8 minutes for the 2K. So they're not great stats. I know you believe differently that Rayner will go at number one. And that's going to be the really interesting thing. And I think the other thing about this whole process is where Richmond and the Dogs in the last couple of years, what they've done to reshape the game, if you like, particularly Richmond this year, as to where they go, how much credence is put on key position talent now. Particularly with Freo, with these counterpoint views on, do you go for the 2 elite mids, create a super midfield for the future, or do you go the 1 mid and you definitely got to go tall with the 2nd?
The interesting point, I think there is still a spot for key position talent in the AFL, but what size is that key position talent? We saw Richmond win a premiership with Jack Revolt playing as their one genuine power forward. Jack Revolt's about 193 centimetres tall. And of course, the previous year, the Western Bulldogs did it with players, sort of like hybrid players, weren't they? Like Jake Stringer. And obviously then they had Tom Boyd rucking and going forward and making an impact. So I think that's going to be the interesting thing. I think it's fine to have your genuine 196 to 200 centimetre power forward, but he has to be agile and he has to be able to play. The day of the big log, who just stands there and gives you a contest and then doesn't give you much on the ground, I'm not sure that there's much future for them in the AFL. Too much emphasis is placed on ground level pressure, forward pressure, and pressure when the opposition has the ball trying to exit your attacking 50.
And really interesting, as you said, the real top end of this draft, it is generally midfield talent, with a few talented talls thrown in there. It's really interesting to see where they all land.
And even the talls quarters are hybrid sort of players.
Like
Darcy Fogarty's one that's being talked about.
Yep.
He's a South Australian boy. Probably was rated as the number one pick heading into the draft. Had a knee problem. Played pretty much all of his football that he played this year with that knee problem, didn't play well. Eventually they pulled him out. They realised he was labouring too much and he went in and had surgery. He slid down the pecking order a little bit. It will be interesting to see how people factor that in. He's a Matthew Pavlich type. He's a 192 centimetre big-bodied bloke who can play midfield and can also press forward and kick goals. And even Rayner. Rayner's 186, 187 centimetres, 87 kilograms, but he has high impact as a forward taking marks in attack. So he's the sort of guy that he's been likened to Dustin Martin. I had a friend in Melbourne who said he's more like Christian Petrarca than Dustin Martin. Enormously powerful. But
with a big ass.
The barge ass. He's got the barge ass happening. So let's run through the top prospects. Yep. We'll get to West Australian picks later, and obviously a couple of them will figure in our top 20 or so. Peter Sumich will hone in on a few other West Australians as well. So the top pick, as we mentioned, it looks like it'll come down to one of two. Cameron Rayner from the Western Jets. He's 18 years old. He's 186 centimetres. He's 87 kilograms. Predominantly forward, hopefully pushes into the midfield later. Now, this guy is had real impact in the 18s championships as a forward. Kicked five goals a couple of times. He launches himself at the ball, so he's very strong in the end. He's a very good set shot for goals, anywhere from 20 to 50 metres. So that gives him real impact on the game. Everyone was likening him to Dustin Martin about 8 weeks out from the end of the season. And, of course, it was very fashionable to be like Dustin Martin this
year. And look at his final series. So it's the archetype of the moment, if you like. And then you have LDU, who's got that tank. He's ready to go in from day one.
Yep.
That's the male on LDU. So really quick, can play inside and outside. So a lot of appeal for him as well. So he'll be one and two, I think.
So I think they're most likely to be one and two.
Yep.
If Rayner's likened to Martin stroke Petrarca, Luke Davies Uniacke, who is referred to as LDU, spirit in a can, he's from Dandenong, and he's more like Paddy Dangerfield. He's your power midfielder who explodes away from stoppages, can go forward, kicks goals. He had a couple of remarkable performances in the TAC Cup and also in the 18s, and the most remarkable of them was in the TAC Cup semi-final when Dandenong were trailing Eastern Rangers by about 9 goals, and basically Davies Uniacke dragged him over the line off his own boot. He ended up having 33 possessions. He won 21 of them in contest, took the ball inside 55 times, had 6 clearances, kicked a goal, was the reason they got up and won by about 13 points. And that one really stamped him, I think, as probably, in many eyes, I think, he became the player in this draft at that point.
So with these two players, the factor is, one, it's Brisbane and Fremantle making these selections. So what's the go-home factor with these two?
Well, that's the interesting thing. I think Brisbane are worried about the go-home factor with Davies Uniacke.
Yep.
Fremantle, I believe, less so. But the other thing is Rayner is a very passionate Essendon supporter, so that would be a concern as well. Now, the third player of what was until last week considered the big three is a country boy. So that's Paddy Dow from the Bendigo Pioneers. He's also a midfielder. He's slightly smaller than the other two. He's 185 centimetres. He's only 78 kilograms at this stage. But he's also explosive, really, really strong through the thighs and hips quarters. So he's really quick, really powerful, running out of traffic. Goes forward and kicks goals. I think he kicked 7 goals in one game. Might have been in school football this year.
So he's a safe bet. He'd be a safe bet for a club like Freo too.
Well, I think one thing that happened, I've noticed with Fremantle's drafting in the past, and I don't know whether they would be prepared to admit it publicly, but they do gravitate a little bit. If they're going to go interstate, they'll go to country Victorians ahead of Vic Metro boys, and they'll also go to South Australians. And I believe they feel that the go-home factor with those kids is slightly diluted. I mean, a country Victorian kid, even if he wants to go home, if he goes home to Melbourne, he's not really going home.
Hey, that's not saying much about Adelaide.
Well, Adelaide has that problem, doesn't it? I mean, if we look at the Adelaide Crows, really good football club, really well-resourced football club, and a well-performed football club, and they keep losing players. So I love Adelaide, and I would never have a bad word say about Adelaide, but others obviously feel differently about it.
Apart from the brown water, I do love Adelaide too.
And the green beer.
And the fourth player in this mix probably, is another straight out of the Brayshaw production line. There's just a lot of talent in that family.
There is Andrew Brayshaw. Now,
another mid.
Yeah, another mid. He's slightly smaller again from Dow. He's 184 centimetres, 82 kilograms. He played for Sandringham this year, and he was injured quarters earlier in the year. So recruiters didn't get a great look at him.
Yep.
And while he was right at the top end of their pecking orders at the start of the season, he tended to slide a bit. But he gave them a reminder at the season's end just as how good he was. And he also dominated at the draft combine. So he's shot straight back up the order again. And again, if Brisbane's looking at go-home factor, Brayshaw is regarded as a really safe bet. Strong kid, strong character, the sort of kid always does the team thing.
Yep.
Really high on 1% is that sort of thing. He's the sort of kid, if you got him into your club, you'd suspect he'd bury himself in the club culture and set about making a contribution to the club. So I think he's in the mix, but I suspect he's the least likely of that quartet to be the number one pick.
With that four, the really interesting one, we come to pick five now with Freo's pick. I mean, do they go Aaron Norton, which I believe they do, for that tall, that key position in defence perhaps, or do you go with a Jaden Stevenson type midfielder who can play forward? That pick five to me is really fascinating, whether they do go for the mid types or they go for the one mid in the key position. I'd like him to go for the latter.
I don't think they will go for Norton.
Then he goes to Collingwood, perhaps.
I think Collingwood likes Norton and Norton likes Collingwood. He grew up barracking for Collingwood.
Yeah, but this grew up barracking thing is a bit of a day. It's a relic of the past, really.
It look, how much does it help?
Oh, it does initially.
Not a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
How much does it hurt? It certainly doesn't hurt.
No, yeah, it doesn't hurt. That's a fair point.
I think Fremantle will go midfield. I suspect that if Norton had a record of being able to play forward, Fremantle would have been very strongly tempted to take Norton.
We would have liked to have seen that in the Waffle Grand Final. Would have been nice.
Yeah, maybe they could have played him in half forward and see how he went.
Exactly.
I think Fremantle believes its key defensive stocks aren't too bad. They're relying on Alex Pearce to stand up again. Obviously, they've got Hamling, who came to the club last year, and there's a couple of other younger players pushing up that they think are going to be
okay. What about a Darcy Fogarty type? They need a good key position forward.
I reckon he's in the mix.
Yeah.
I reckon he's in the mix. So, and you know what? Given that it's Fremantle and given that Fogarty, he's from Glenelg in South Australia, he's the Matthew Pavlich size. And that's going to ring a few bells at Fremantle, isn't it?
Well, that's what they need. That's the missing piece in their forward line.
So he was regarded as the cream of the crop heading into 2017. He was regarded as the best player in this draft crop.
And two knees later.
Well, it was really one meniscus problem that dragged on through the year.
And complications. So one with complications.
One with complications. Yep. And he probably should have been rested at the outset. He tried to play on with it. He didn't play well. Clubs have gone a little bit cold on him. I still think he'll be somewhere in the top 10.
Yep.
And I still think he's a chance for Fremantle to be taken at pick five. Stevenson's the intriguing one. If you, for listeners, if you watch AFL Grand Final coverage and you saw the curtain raiser and you saw this kid, blonde hair, lanky, ponytail, just carving up like Peter Matera off a wing and half forward for one of the teams in that All-Star game, that was Jaden Stevenson. Now, he's had a minor hiccup. There was a bit of a health scare that was detected in his heart at the draft combine. He's since been given the all-clear that. I think it's a similar thing to what Brenton Sanderson, the former Adelaide and Geelong and Collingwood player, had. And Brenton Sanderson played over 200 games with the same issue. So they believe it won't be a problem for him in his AFL career. Jaden Stevenson, as a 16-year-old quarters in 2015, so we're going back 2 years now, kicked seven goals in the TAC Cup Grand Final, playing out of a forward pocket for Eastern Rangers. They reckon he reads the ball magnificently in the air. He's a forward mid. He runs hard to defence. And I think if he's there, because there's strong talk that North Melbourne, who have the number four pick, there's strong talk they are very, very keen on Jaden Stevenson. It will be hard, I reckon, for Fremantle to overlook him if he's there at pick five.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of love out there for Jaden Stevenson, that's for sure. You know, the recruiting officers, people in the know.
The other ones that are going to be in contention for that pick at Fremantle are Adam Serra. Now, Adam Serra is, a lot of people had him bracketed with those big three at the top end, Dow, Davies, Uniacke and Rayner. He's highly skilled. He's really good at stoppages. He's 186 centimetres, 80 kilograms. He's got a good solid basis to build an AFL body. The one thing that sets him a little bit behind them is people regard him as a bit slower. And that may mean that he slides down the order a little bit, but he could still go as high as pick three, I suspect, in this draft. So it'll be interesting to watch that as well.
Now, any Smokies in that top 10?
Look, the bottom end of the top 10 is very fluid.
Yep.
So we thought... for example, Oscar Allen, the West Perth boy.
Well, I think the Eagles are super keen for him to hang around till 13, that's for sure. And if, I think they'll go him if he's still available at 13.
Well, it's going to be a big decision for West Coast, isn't it? Because most people look at West Coast list and they think West Coast needs X-factor midfielders. I put that to Adam Simpson the other day and he just looked at me with a funny look. He said, well, everyone needs X-factor midfielders.
Yeah, of course. But I think also he's a talent, he's a local boy. I think if he lasts to 13,
when I look at Oscar Allen, I keep being reminded of Nathan Fyfe and in his draft year, which was 2009.
Yep.
And no one was talking about Oscar Allen before the 18s championships.
Yep.
And then he had such a great 18s championship that everyone said, geez, who's this kid? And there's still some question marks about him because they think he might be a tweener. And for listeners who don't know what that means, a tweener is how recruiters refer to a guy who they think may be too big and not quite nimble enough to be an elite midfielder and too small
to be a
and not quite imposing enough to be a key position player.
Well, we'll ask the man himself, Suma, later, because it'll be interesting to see what his take is on him.
I'm tipping he'll be a fan.
Yeah, I think he might be. Perform for him very well. So we're saying conservatively one WA kid in the top 10, maybe two.
I think one to two in the top 10, and I think two to three in the top 20. So the kid that may squeeze in to the top 20 is Sam Taylor, who was All-Australian at the 18s. He's from Swan Districts. He's 196 centimetres, 87 kilograms. He's a lockdown defender, and he pushed into Swan's senior team towards the end of the season, and he certainly didn't let them down. He played on West Perth's Keitel in the final that Swan Districts played, and certainly did a great job on Keitel. Now, Keitel only narrowly missed being drafted a couple of years ago, and is still a player that some recruiters talk about as having an outside chance of at some point pushing his way into the AFL. So that was a really good effort. The East Coast seems to be very, very lukewarm about Sam Taylor, but a couple of recruiters I've spoken to, they think he's top 20 talent. So it'll be interesting to see how Peter Sumich rates him when we talk to Sumer a bit later on.
Now I'm going to throw an interesting one into the mix, who I know you've been following closely, and that's Will Powell. He's 65 kilos, you know, dripping wet. So very thin, but they're talking, you know, for the one, if you want to compare him to someone, a Dean Kemp type, and they love him. So, and he'll go, he'll be drafted. But where, how high is the question?
Yeah, so two clubs are very, very keen. So
Gold Coast, Richmond.
Gold Coast, Richmond are the ones that are the keenest. I've heard there may be a third, which I suspect may be Port Adelaide. The WAC and the 18 selectors left him out of the 18s team. They felt that he would be better served to play a steady season at Colts at Claremont. He did have a shoulder issue. He's really light and he's quite brave. And it's not a great combination.
Well, there's Dean Kemp.
He's had some shoulder concerns already, and so they're going to need some weight on him, and he's going to need time. But
a year or two in an AFL system. Sounds like he's worth the gamble.
So what happens when a player goes into an AFL system is the AFL club will try and put 4 to 6 kilograms on them every summer. So if, let's say, that Will Powell gets drafted, in 2 years' time, you'll be looking at a kid who'll be high 70s, maybe 80 kilos, and then he'll be getting the sort of body shape that would be required to play AFL footy.
So the idea of the 4 or 5 a year is not to put too much stress on the body as you're still at the end of that growth spurt. Yep.
So if you're looking at who might be available to West Coast when they take their pick 13, there's a range of players. It's even possible that someone like Fogarty could slide that far because a few recruiters did go cold on him after he battled the knee concern. There's a kid from Dandenong called Hunter Clark. He's a beautiful mover. Again, a big-bodied midfield type. He's one that could be as high as 7 in the draft, or he could be as low as 12 or 13. Jared Brander Quarters, who's probably the one...
A lot of talk about him early in the draft speculation.
There was, yeah. And then he sort of... He had two outstanding performances in the 18s championships. And one was right at the start when he played at centre-half back. and the other one was right at the finish when he played centre-half forward. There wasn't much in between, and recruiters wanted to see a little bit more from Brander. So he's gone from sort of being talked about as a top-five pick, and I suspect had he held up better and Fremantle had that second pick in the top five and they were looking at a key position player, Brander might have been the one they might have taken with that pick. Now I'm not so sure. I suspect they're more likely to go with a midfielder.
Well, when 2 and 5 are gone, they've slipped down to 42. So, you know, good luck with that. Brandon Stasevic, yep. Where do you see him? I'm thinking he's maybe somewhere in that 20s range for the Eagles.
He'll be a good one to talk to Sumer about in a few minutes' time, because Peter Sumer is a massive Brandon Stasevic fan. He rates him as a player of the same ilk as Cameron Rayner.
Yep.
Had an injury at the start of the year, was very slow to get going, came with a rush late in the season, played in that All-Stars 18s game on grand final day, and certainly held his own against the top end of the AFL talent. He is a guy, I think he could go anywhere from early second round to probably early third round. I would be surprised if he's still there at pick 40.
Now, the two I'm still hearing about connected with the Eagles, one is Zach Langdon as a forward mid. Yep. They're very bullish on him and were all over him at the state combine. I'm hearing Zach Langdon and Liam Ryan. And I'm really hopeful for Liam Ryan. I think of the mature age waffle players, I see him as the most likely.
Yep.
And I would love him to go into an AFL system for a year or two to see what he could do. He could be anything.
I'm with you. I hope he gets drafted. I think players of Liam Ryan's talent, it would be a shame if they don't at least get a look at AFL level and get a chance to strut their stuff. My concern, which may mitigate against that, is that he's now played 2 grand finals on a potential AFL defender, and he hasn't been able to impact the game in either. And it would be interesting to see how much recruiters discount his value as a result of that. But for the sake of highlights packages, in the AFL next year, I sincerely hope Liam Ryan gets a look.
I think with the benefit of some time in an AFL system, there's a lot of upside for him. I think he's certainly worth a later pick.
Yeah, look, he's kicked 73 goals as a 21-year-old in the waffle. If that doesn't get you a look in the AFL, I'm not sure what does.
Could be an interesting Eagles forward line next year.
Could be.
Willie Rioli on one side, Liam Ryan on the other.
Could be a very spectacular Eagles forward line. Well, listeners, we have on the line a West Coast Eagles great, a great assistant coach at West Coast, and a very good assistant coach at Fremantle as well. He won premierships with John Worsfold at West Coast.
And a super coach at State 18s level.
A super coach, because this was shaping as a barren year for WA junior talent. And under Peter Sumich, the 18s very nearly won the national championship.
3 out of 4 victories.
And we've gone from having virtually no one drafted to, you know, having, well, probably at least half a dozen drafted in this draft. Sumo, how are you going?
Good, boys. Thanks for the intro. I'm wrapped with that one.
we're the masters of understatement here, mate. We probably could have mentioned the fact that you were a dual premiership player and the first left footer to kick 100 goals in the season.
Long time ago, Duff. thanks very much.
So, mate, obviously the draft on Friday, it would be an exciting time for you, I'd imagine, given the work you've done with the WA juniors this year.
Yeah, look, I'm very intrigued about how it's going to go, actually. For the first time, like you said, me being involved with the 18s, and I'm actually wrapped just to see, and I'm hopeful, you know, we get half a dozen to 8 drafted and maybe the same rookie. It'll be a great result for WA football. So, yeah, I'm going to be watching and making sure that those things happen. It'll be nice.
Suma, there must be, obviously there's a fair bit of joy that goes with seeing those players drafted, but at the other end of the scale, the kids who you really rate and you see work hard who don't get picked up, how do you deal with that? What do you say to them?
Yeah, that's the hard one, Quarters. And at the end of the day, what we're trying to encourage these kids, and probably why I've gone back to the commission a little bit and the waffle in a sense at Colts level and 18s, is to encourage these kids who don't get drafted to stay in the system at the waffle and play league football, and then there's an opportunity for them to get drafted hopefully at 19, 20, 21, 22, and some might even take to 24, 23, 24. So we're trying to encourage that, because at the moment, once they don't get drafted, you're right, they just disappear, which is sad, and they go and play Sunday League, which is not a bad thing, but we want them to play waffle football because they're good enough to do that.
So I guess you have a vested interest not just only in seeing the likes of Sam Taylor and Oscar Allen and Aaron Norton and those types of players drafted, but also probably in seeing someone like Tim Kelly, Liam Ryan, and even Scott Jones from East Perth, those guys getting a look in, because it will encourage players to stay around and play at waffle level.
Yeah, that's right. And even Hayden Sloyd, the other one. So who had a little bit to do with that Fremantle, and hopefully he gets a second chance. I'm wrapped if those players do get drafted. And look, I've had nothing to do with them in that sense. But that then is great for waffle football, because we've got good coaches in charge of them at waffle if we're starting to get a few of those players drafted at that age.
So, Suma, let's look at the WA boys. We think there'll be one West Australian in the top 10, and that is Aaron Norton from Peel Thunder, of course, the key defender. Is that the way you look at it? Is he the best of the locals? And what sort of player do you see him as?
Yeah, look, I think you're right. I think he'll more than likely, we're hopeful Fremantle will take him at 5, but if not, I think he'll go in the top 10 for sure. Centre-half back, very agile, loves to zone off and take a nice mark, and he's a very good mark by zoning off. But one thing I'm really impressed with Nords is his actual ground level play. He's actually, once the ball does hit the ground, whether he falls and hits the ground, he swoops on it fairly quickly for a tall player, and he's very clean below his knees, and I think that's an important thing in AFL football going forward. So, yeah, look, I think he's a top tenner for me.
We were actually saying this earlier, Suma, perhaps the days of the lumbering key position players are gone. You really do have to be adept at ground level and have your quicks about you.
Yeah, and he's got that. You have to be agile. And in saying that, he can play centre forward as well, full forward. He can go forward. So, you know, his ability to play both ends is a great asset for sides who are looking at him.
Well, I think that would be a reason for Fremantle to pick him if he can go forward as well. But I'm tipping if he doesn't go 5, he'll go at 6, because he doesn't mind the Pies either.
He doesn't mind the Pies, yeah. And the Pies don't mind him either.
that's what I'm hearing as well. And I see his room's full of Collingwood stuff, but his old man's an avid supporter. But, yeah, look, at the end of the day, I'm just big on hopefully these kids getting an opportunity with our local clubs, because I'm passionate about our two local clubs and making sure they're winning premierships in the near future.
So, Suma, most people would say the second best kid from Western Australia is your captain and the Lark medalist from the 18s Championships, a kid who came from relative obscurity to be one of the really talked about players, Oscar Allen from West Perth. Tell us a little bit about him, and also can you talk us through the query on him, which is his size, whether he's big enough to be a genuine power forward?
Yeah, look, he's the ultimate professional, and I haven't seen, you know, probably the two of them, Norton and him, Oscar, who, you know, they're big on their recovery post and pre-game, you know, so they're outstanding in that area, and for kids at that age to really get a hold of that, I think is an important thing. Yeah, look, I think he's got leadership qualities. I think he can play midfield eventually at 191, and I know Fifey plays at Fremantle on the midfield at 191 or 192, I think Fifey is, and I think this kid's got the ability to play a little bit in the midfield, but I think he can play key position, no doubt, and that's full forward or centre forward, because he's mobile, and I think that's where the game's going. You've got to be able to run and work up and down the ground, and I think he can pinch hit in either of those positions. And he showed it on grand final day too, in the All-Stars game, and I thought he was outstanding, took some great marks playing at centre forward and worked the MCG quite well. So, look, I think he's going to be a ripper. Yeah, I think he'll probably go in the top 20. He had a slight knocked up on him size-wise, no doubt, but I think he'll get by with that, because he actually can take a contested mark at you know, with his height, so I think that's great.
The other one, Suma, is Sam Taylor from Swan District, who shot into top 20 calculations on the back of his carnival. How did you see his carnival, and what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, he's one close behind these two. I would, you know, and there's another one that we'll talk about in a minute, but yeah, Sammy playing league football for Swan Districts, and he's a competitor. He hates to get beaten. And I actually think he's got a bit of Stephen Silvani in him. He's one of those blokes that on a lead, he looks beaten at times, but then suddenly he just lunges and gets that fist in late and spoils the ball because he hates to get beaten. And I think he's going to be a ripper. And like I said, because he hates to get beaten and being competitive and having that mindset, I think he's a great thing to have in a young kid.
Well, you'd know all about Soss, Summer. Did that bring back some bad memories or some good memories?
No, that was fine. Soss spoiled the ball, but I actually collected it on the ground and kicked the goal anyway, so that was fine.
So I'm going to put my crystal ball on here, and knowing how you feel about this bloke, I'm tipping the one you said you were about to talk about would be Brandon Stasevich from East Perth.
Yeah, 100% right. You're a good judge, Duff. That's why you're number one rider in WA.
So tell us a bit about Brandon.
Yeah, look, he's a bull. I think he can play forward, can play, in the midfield. I think his size warrants playing in the midfield, and I think he's got a great kick on him, a strong kick. He's got a little bit of Patrick Dangerfield about him. So I just think he hasn't been fit. That's been his issue, especially this year. But he started to get his fitness up and running probably late in the year at East Perth, and he played on grand final day and had an outstanding game. So I think he's a possible top 20. That's where I see him, and I'm getting a feeling I think West Coast like him.
Summer, the one we've been hearing a lot about lately who didn't play in the 18s is Will Powell. Very light, but they're talking him up, in the likes of Dean Kemp, that sort of a style player. What are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, look, I went to Claremont training. That was early last year, the start of their pre-season, and Ross McQueen, who coaches their Colts at Claremont, and I said to Ross after training, I said, Ross, who's that kid over there? And I said, geez, he looks pretty good. He moves smooth. He moves like Dean Kemp. I said, he goes, oh, Will Power, he's this and that. And he said, so I think he's going to be a very good player. And look, we didn't pick him in the 18s because he didn't have a great probably first 6 to 8 games. He was solid. And then he got going. And like I said, I think he's going to be a ripper. And he's well talked about at the moment.
So after the ones we've the big four that we've talked about from Western Australia, obviously there's Norton, there's Allen, there's Taylor, and there's Stasevich. Who would you view as the next kid in the pecking order from Western Australia?
Oh, probably Jake Patmore. I think Jake has been probably, he's drifted a fair bit. I would have probably touted it, middle of last year when he was playing Colts and 17s, Jake was probably touted a top 30 pick, and he probably drifted a little bit. He went wayward a bit with his fitness and that, but he's lost 7 or 8 kilos. I think he's had a great carnival, and then his back end at Claremont was really good at Colts level, and played a couple of reserves games. So I think he now comes into contention probably between that pick 30 and pick 60, and I think he's right in the mix to get picked up.
So, having watched the carnival at close hand, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Who's your number one pick? You're Brisbane, you're making the number one pick. Who is it?
Right now, Cam Rayner.
Yep.
Wait, why is that? Just so much X factor about him, and you view the lack of a tank as not as big a problem as others may view it?
No. I had a bit to do with Cam with the Academy, AFL Academy. So we went away together up in Darwin, and then we went away at the American trip. So he's a ripper kid. I think you can always build some fitness. He's had pretty good fitness in the early stages, and then he had a bit of an injury, and then he missed a few weeks. So I wouldn't be too concerned about that. You can pick that up. But he's another one like Stasevich. I really rate him because he's a boy. He's got some real speed about him. He's great kick, good skills, clean. I class him as the number one at the moment.
So the three mature ages that most people are talking about from Western Australia, Tim Kelly, Liam Ryan, and obviously Hayden Sloyth, which you mentioned earlier. What do you think their prospects are, and where in the draft, assuming that they do get an opportunity, where in the draft do you see them most likely to go?
Well, Tim Kelly, I think he's a possible 20 to 40 pick. I'm hearing some whispers at Carlton into him a little bit, and which would be great for him. And, you know, they need a bit of a mature age midfielder with Gibbs going, I reckon. So, yeah, look, I think Sloy's anywhere from 40 plus, and I hope he gets an opportunity because I know the kid can play. When he was at Fremantle, he was just a little bit wayward off the field, and as young kids can be at that age, and I think he's now matured. And Liam Ryan, well, I think Liam's a great fit for West Coast. It's just a matter of where West Coast pick him, and we know they got their picks under 40, so they might have to take him with one of them.
Just on another issue, Sulma, there's been a lot of talk about raising the draft age from 18 to 19. A lot too much pressure put on kids in that year 12 bracket. What's your view on that? Do you think it's okay where it is now?
I think it's okay, but I would like to see it lifted. And the only reason why, I'd like to see some of these kids play 20 to 40 games of waffle.
Yep.
And I'm probably going back to what I did. I didn't join the AFL till I was 20. So I started playing when I was 21, and I'd play 60-odd games of South, and, you know, I was immature, and I see a lot of these kids immature, but they go into an AFL system, which I know what it's like. It's ruthless at this stage, and some of them just can't handle it, and that's why at 20, 21, these kids can play football and play well, and you're seeing the Tim Kellys and Sloyds maturing, and even Liam Ryan to a certain extent, so... That's why I think 19's a great bracket. But you're always going to have your 18-year-old who's probably got a head on him like a 22-year-old.
Mm.
And then everyone goes, oh, well, we shouldn't raise it. And there's always that, like a Chris Judd, you know, at 18, well, he had a head on, you know, 21-year-old, really, the way he was so professional. But that's one in few, you know, one in 10, sorry, something like that. So anyway, my opinion, 19.
Yeah, I agree. I just think it's crazy that you're asking kids to do their Year 12 exams,
yep,
and try and get into an AFL system and play in 18s championships in the 1 year. I think if they got to play the 18s championships, got to do their exams, and then got to bed themselves down playing against men the following year,
yep,
and then have a look at them, you would narrow the margin for error, I reckon, significantly, get a better look at the kids and the way they're developing as players and as people, and I think it would put recruiters in a position to get a lot less wrong and a lot more right.
And ease that transition too, because it must be a real shock to the system stepping out from the Year 12 straight. I mean, you've had the background through the 18s and what have you, but stepping straight into that AFL system.
Sulma, obviously we've talked about a few. Of the ones we haven't talked about, there's a few that have been sort of mentioned in dispatches. I'll just run through them quickly and get your thoughts quickly on where you see them sitting. Subiaco's Braden Ainsworth, one of your 18s players.
Yeah, I think a real possible draftee, if not early rookie, but anywhere from 40-plus.
Kyron Hayden, also from Subiaco, very athletic, 186, 86 kilograms, midfielder forward.
Yeah, same thing, 40 plus. He's just got to understand that he's got to get a bit more professional with where footy is at. But once he realises that, I think he's going to be a ripper too.
And I'm sounding like I'm just running through the Subiaco team list here, but another one who travelled all the way from Kalgoorlie to play footy this year, Ben Miller, 196 centimetres, 92 kilograms, backup ruckman, possible key forward.
Yeah, correct. And I think he had an outstanding carnival with us for a big man. He warmed to it. And then on top of that, his grand final All-Stars game was outstanding. Had some real good moments in that game. So, look, I think he's probably going to get drafted. I don't know where, but again, it'll be fairly late.
One I know that you like a lot, and you liken him a little bit to Callan England, to Andrew Gaff. Callan England from Claremont, 181 centimetre midfielder, absolute ball magnet.
Yeah, he is, and he's, like I said, I was very lucky to be involved with Gaffy, and at a young age, and I see a lot of Gaffy in England, and Callum really runs the lines really well, uses the ball well, and I think it'll suit one of our WA sides. Look, really late pick, I think, or he'd be a great rookie pick. I think you can't go wrong with him being a rookie.
Probably the last of the 18-year-olds that we'll talk about, East Fremantle's Chris Scott, who played a great Colts grand final. I think he took 10 marks, had 21 touches, tallish defender, 192 centimetres, 84 kilograms.
Yeah, and this is a kid, it's funny you bring him up, Duff. I gave him a lift probably four or five times through training with the 18s because he lived in Spearwood. He's down from Gero, and it was just great to get to know a kid like that. But he's got a long way to go in the sense of maturity and understanding himself as a footballer. But I think he's going to be a ripper, and he's one of those folks I'm talking about at 19, 20, 21, that he's going to be a very good player. But hopefully he can get that opportunity.
So the one they are talking about a little bit as a bit of a smoky who's come in a bit, East Perth young ruckman Aaron Redhead, who's 19, 201 centimetres. And while you're talking about him, probably also your thoughts on the other East Perth ruckman, Scott Jones, who's gotten over two serious leg injuries at 205 centimetres and is being talked about as a possible late pick or a rookie.
Yeah, look, I think Redhead's... he's a sponge. He loves to learn. He's very raw. I think, again, late pick / rookie, couldn't go wrong because you could leave him on your list for 3 or 4 years and see what you get, and really at no cost. The other kid from East Perth, I haven't had a lot to do with, so it's probably hard for me to judge on him, but I know he's played some good footy late this year.
Well, Peter Somich, thank you very much for joining us and being part of our draft coverage on this podcast. I think you deserve a lot of congratulations, Sumer, with the job you did with our 18s this year, because there were a lot of very bleak predictions as to what this talent crop was going to bring to Western Australia and also how we were going to perform at the 18s Championships. That certainly wasn't the case. I think you did a fantastic job with the team and you've done a fantastic job in developing that talent. Thank you for making our show a little bit better for our public ahead of the draft on Friday.
All right, boys, any time, and thanks very much.
Well, Glenn, they talk about this as the recruiters' grand final day, and
it is. I reckon there's a couple of frothies that I had after this is all said and done.
There's probably some frothies that I had, and there's probably some recriminations to be had a few years down the track when some of their big picks don't eventuate to be everything they were touted to be.
And to all those supporters out there, good luck. I hope you get the next Dangerfield or the next Dusty. You just never know.
Yep, exactly. It is an exciting time in its own way. AFL draft day, and we look forward to it. It's going to be pandemonium in our office, I know, because it starts at about 4:30 and we've got a paper to put out a couple of hours later, so yeah. Trying to get across all the picks is going to be very, very rushed, but make sure you keep pace with it on perthnow.com.au and thewest.com.au. We'll bring you up to date with everything in the draft in the Weekend West on Saturday morning, and of course there'll be further wash up and probably some interviews with some of the key players to come out of the draft in the Sunday Times on Sunday morning. We look forward to speaking to you again in the near future.
The Game AFL podcast is brought to you by the West Australian and the Sunday Times, where the footy never stops. Watch the best videos and stay on the ball with breaking news and expert analysis at thewest.com.au and perthnow.com.au. This has been The Game.